Yeah, good morning. We are starting this morning Pesachim Samech Vav. We're starting the sixth parak of the Masechta. We continue our discussion regarding Karban Pesach, and our Mishnah is going to be focusing on the Karban Pesach that's going to be offered on Shabbos when Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, which is possible. Not only possible, it's going to happen this year, this calendaric year, 5781. So we're going to be having Shabbos and Erev Shabbos and Pesach coinciding. So when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so a discussion to be had, not much of a discussion, although we know what the conclusion is, but a major discussion to be had in terms of whether or not the Karban Pesach is going to be shechted on that particular Shabbos. If I may spoil most of today's Gemara, the answer is yes. You're allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach even when that Erev Pesach happens to coincide with Shabbos. It's a, as we're going to see, it's a Kav HaChomer, it's a Drasha. There are going to be a number of limudim that are all going to bring us to that point that you're allowed to do so. Meanwhile, nevertheless, it's going to be a really interesting Gemara today, as we're going to be seeing discussions that are had amongst the Tanaim. We're going to see Rashi Shiva step down from their position. There's a lot of drama associated with this particular halacha. So that is what we're going to be covering over the course of this daf as we open up here in the sixth parak of the Masechta. So we start with a Mishnah. We're on Samachem and Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah, opening up the sixth parak of Pesachim. Elu dvarim bePesach dochen haShabbos. These are the things that the Karban Pesach is going to override the Shabbos. That means to say that when the 14th day of Nisan coincides with Shabbos, so there's going to have to be dechias haShabbos. We're going to override the Shabbos with a number of activities. So first of all, the shechting of the Karban Pesach. Shechita, so that's number one. Zrikas damo, the sprinkling of the blood, that's also going to override the Shabbos. Michui karavav. So that's going to be the squeezing of the intestines. We're going to see more of that in the Gemara in terms of precisely what that is. And v'haktaras chalavav and the burning of the chalav. So these are activities which on Shabbos are going to be prohibited. And as a result of that, one would have considered for a moment, more than just a moment. We're going to see there was much consideration. But one's going to consider for a moment that one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But nevertheless, the Mishnah's point is that no, these are the things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, despite the fact that they're violations of Shabbos. So as far as Shechita is concerned, Shechita is an Av Malacha that we're all familiar with. Michui Karavav, we're not really sure what that is yet, so we're going to wait for the Gemara, not today's daf, tomorrow's daf, where the Gemara is going to be discussing exactly what that is, so that we can understand why that would be a violation of Shabbos. Haktaras Chalavav, the burning of the fat, so that we understand that's a fire, that's burning, so that's a Malacha as well. What about Zrikas Adam? So we know what Zrikas Adam is. Zrikas Adam is the sprinkling of the blood. Is that going to be a violation of Shabbos? Meaning, the Mishnah says that you can override Shabbos with Zrikas Dam. Are you violating Shabbos by sprinkling the blood? So that's a tough question. Presumably, the answer is no. Not only is that presumably the answer, Tosfos says so beferish. So Elu Dvarim, take a look at the first Tosfos in our Perek. Zrikas Damo Tana Agav Shechita So. So as far as Zrikas Dam is concerned, that's just in the Mishnah coming along for the ride. But the truth of the matter is, as Tosfos says, that there really is no violation of Shabbos when you do Zrikas Adam. Zrikas Adam does not involve Shabbos violation. What are you doing? You're taking blood, you're throwing it onto the Mizbech. Yes, probably there are Muksa issues concerned, but as far as a Malacha Shabbos, a real violation of Shabbos, so you're not violating Shabbos. So Tosfos says, you know, it just comes in along for the ride. That's Tosfos's position. Not agreed to by everybody. Some are of the opinion that somehow Zrikas Adam is in fact a malacha that you are allowed to override on Shabbos. Exactly one malacha it is, good for another occasion. But meanwhile, just something to be aware of. You have to look at all the activities in the Mishnah and try to figure out how they are violations of Shabbos. Good. The Mishnah, however, continues of Atzliyasav Hadachas Karavav Eino Dochas Shabbos. But when it comes to the roasting of the Karban Pesach, and also the cleaning out in the intestines, which obviously is not the same thing as Michui Karavav, so we're going to have to try to differentiate. We're going to do that later point in time, but that's not going to override the Shabbos. Eino Dochas HaShabbos, that's not going to override the Shabbos. So that means to say, when are we going to roast the Karban Pesach? And the answer is actually very simple. Motzei Shabbos. After Shabbos is over, so then and only then are we going to be roasting the Karban Pesach. But on Shabbos itself, you're not going to roast it. There's no hetter to roast it on Shabbos. The avoda is going to override the Shabbos, but the activities that can be postponed till later, like the roasting of the Karban Pesach, that will be postponed till later. Har Kavto. Now, what about carrying the Karban Pesach to Yerushalayim? Let's say you didn't make it to Yerushalayim before Shabbos, and now Shabbos has begun, but and you have a little more to go, and in order to get the animal over to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to need to carry it. Can you carry it? So first of all, is that a malacha? So Rashi over here says it's not. Rashi writes over here, Akavtel, Al-Katev Adam La'avio Le'azara Derech Rishus HaRabim. So you're gonna take the animal and put it on your shoulder. These are small animals. So I'm speaking as if I have tremendous experience in carrying lambs and goats. Anyway, so you're gonna carry them. You're gonna put them on your shoulder, and you're gonna go through Rishus Rabbim. Af api she'enu ela iser shvus derabbanan. So Rashi says over here, it's not iser deraisa, it's iser derabbanan. The kaimlan chaynos es atzma. This takes us back to Shabbos daf tzadi dalet. The topic of chaynos es atzma, where when you're carrying something that it itself could support itself, that's not nisa deraisa, it's nisa derabbanan. Why it's nisa derabbanan? So you recall over there, the Tosfos gives, if I remember correctly, three different explanations in terms of why that should be, why it's not nisa deraisa. Anyway, but it's not nisa deraisa. So ein docha da'avale l'mavne me'esmol. So Rashi writes over here, the reason why this activity is not going to override their Shabbos is because you could have done this yesterday. You didn't have to wait till Shabbos in order to do this. Now Rashi over here brings us to the next point of the Mishnah. Let's just quickly run back to the Mishnah. Let's see the next point of the Mishnah. And also bringing it from outside of Tchum. Bringing it outside of Tchum is also an Issur Derabanan. Right? We're going to assume, not like Rabbi Akiva, that coming from outside of Tchum is an Issur Derabanan. And yet these activities, albeit Issur Derabanan, are going to be prohibited. Why? So Rashi tells us why. Rashi told us why. Because these are activities that could have been done before the Shabbos. V'chatichas yabalto. And also, cutting off a wart, Rashi says, whether you do it with your hands, whether you do it with the scissors, so that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Again, activities that could have been done before Shabbos, and therefore they're not going to be overriding the Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that every one of these activities that we just described over here, carrying the carbon, bringing it from outside of Tchum, cutting off the wart, these are all going to be overriding the Shabbos. And here we go now, launching ourselves into a lengthy discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and all the other Tanaim. I'm a Rabbi Eliezer Velo Dinu. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, if you think about it, can't we make the following argument? Kavachomer argument. So my im shchita shi mishum malacha, if you're allowed to shech the karm Pesach on Shabbos, so which is an issur daraisa doches a Shabbos elu. Shehin mishum shvus lo yidchus a Shabbos. So we're talking here now about Isuri Derabbanan. Isuri Derabbanan are not going to override the Shabbos. Okay, sounds like a really strong argument. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua turns to Rabbi Eliezer and he says, Yom Tov Yechiach. He says, let me try to counter your argument. Let's take another subject. And that is the allowance to cook on Yontov. Sheitir Rabba Mishum Malacha. You know, you're allowed to do Malacha on Yontov. You're allowed to cook on Yontov. You're allowed to start a fire on Yontov. You're allowed to shecht on Yontov. So you're allowed to do these activities on Yontov for Ochel Nefesh. V'asur Bo Mishum Shvos. And meanwhile, question, on Yontov, can I bring food from outside of Tchum? Right, the answer is no, you can't. Even though that would be an Issur Derabbanan, it wouldn't be an Issur Deraisa. So Rabbi Yeshua counters what seemingly is a really good comeback, a fantastic counterpunch. And that is on Yontov, there's a Heter of Ochel Nefesh, which allows you to do Issur Deraisa. And meanwhile, Issur Derabbanan, even if they're Ochel Nefesh related, are not going to be allowed on Yontov. Okay. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, so Mazda Yoshua, so Rabbi Eliezer says back to Rabbi Yoshua. Now, you see in the dialogue when they talk to one another, so the title is removed, right? That's the colleagues. So Mazda Yoshua, well, right, what are you doing? Right, I'll say Rabbi Yoshua, but you understand, they're talking to each other. So Ma Rai Rishos the Mitzvah. What proof do you have between Rishos and a Mitzvah? Meaning, you're talking about Ochel Nefesh on Yontov. Ochel Nefesh on Yontov, yes, it's wonderful to have food on Yontov. Right, but to eat on Yontov, is that a mitzvah per se? It's not a mitzvah per se. Yes, you could be talking about Simchas Yontov, but there's no mitzvah per se. There's no specific mitzvah that one has to cook food on Yontov. That's not a mitzvah. And meanwhile, what am I talking about over here? I'm talking about Shechting the Karban Pesach. Shechting the Karban Pesach is a mitzvah. There is an actual mitzvah, a specific mitzvah to shech the Karban Pesach. And so now, what's holding you back from shechting the Karban Pesach? It's outside of Tchum. You have to carry the animal. Those are Yisuri de Rabbanan. For sure you're going to be able to override those activities in order to fulfill the mitzvah de Oraisa of shechting the Karban Pesach. You can't compare Yontov to shechting the Karban Pesach. One is a Rishus, Rishusha simply means that there's no specific mitzvah to cook on Yantav. There's an allowance to do so, as opposed to Karban Pesach, which is a mitzvah. Okay, so now a really good defense on the part of Rabbi Eliezer. Heishi Rabbi Akiva Vama. Rabbi Akiva comes into this discussion, and he says as follows, Tochiach. He says, well, let me ask you a question. What about sprinkling from the Paraduma? Right? If somebody's a Tamei Mase, then in order to become Tahor, needs a sprinkling on the third and seventh day of his Tahara process. And let's say that seventh day comes out on a Shabbos. Let's say that seventh day not only comes out on a Shabbos, that Shabbos also happens to be Erev Pesach. So here you have an intersection of the seventh day of his Tahara process, together with Shabbos, together with that Shabbos being Erev Pesach. Now, if all you have to do is just sprinkle him with the solution of the Paraduma, so now he'll be able to participate in the Karban Pesach. Now, sprinkling somebody on Shabbos, that's an Isser Durabanan. And the Isser Durabanan is near Kemisakin. It looks like you're correcting yourself. So the only thing preventing him from gaining access to his Karban Pesach is only the Isser Durabanan. Now Rabbi Akiva says, now what's the halacha in such a situation? So let's see in the Mishnah. So Heishi Rabbi Akiva Vamar Hazal Tochich Shi Mishum Mitzvah. Now, if the Hazal were to be done, that would allow for a mitzvah. You would now be able to participate in the Karban Pesach and Vihimishum Shvus. And meanwhile, it's only in Isser Durabanan and Veinu Doches Shabbos, and it's not going to be overriding Shabbos. So what Rabbi Akiva seems to argue now is that, look, I'm showing you that even when something is allowing you to do the mitzvah, and specifically the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and meanwhile you can violate Isuri Durabanan, you can have the Hazaa of the Parah Aduma on this individual on day 7, on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, v'afal titma aleilu. And so Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, so don't be so shocked that you can't carry the animal, you can't bring the animal from outside, tchum, you can't cut off the ward. It's all the same thing. It's all in the same category. Sha'afa pishay mishum mitzvah. Yes, it's going to allow you to do the mitzvah, but the hay mishum shvus and the yisuri derabbanan lo yitchus the Shabbos. They're not going to override the Shabbos. Good. So this is Rabbi Kiva's argument to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer turns back to Rabbi Kiva. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer v'ala anidan. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Kiva, you know, so funny. You're using that as an argument. How about this? How about that I'll take my position, which is that you're allowed to carry the animal and you're allowed to bring it from outside home and you're allowed to cut off the wart, and I'll just simply turn around and tell you, and you're allowed to do the sprinkling on the seventh day. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, your position is not going to be a proof against me. In fact, I'll take my position. I'll just simply conclude that everything that you thought you're not allowed to do, which sprinkling the paraduma, I think you're allowed to do. Ve'aleha anidan, Rabbi Eliezer says it really succinctly. I'm going to be adjudicating this scenario as well. Again, let's start off the argument. Shchita's Karban Pesach, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, that's a Malacha. Doches HaShabbos, it's going to be overriding Shabbos, Azah Shim Mishum Shvus. Sprinkling, which is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, in addition to Doches HaShabbos. So for sure that should override the Shabbos. And what Rabbi Eliezer says, what better proof do I have now that of course you're allowed to do the Hazah? So what Rabbi Akiva thought would be a disproof to Rabbi Eliezer just simply turns around and says, no, I think you're allowed to do that as well. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, o chiluf. So Rabbi Akiva now counters. Rabbi Akiva says, well, how about this? How about let's flip everything around? And that is, Uma'im hazah shim mishum shvus, eino dochas haShabbos. Rabbi Akiva says, let's go back to my position, which is that you're not allowed to sprinkle the paraduma solution on an individual on the seventh day that coincides with Shabbos and happens to be Erev Pesach. How about this? How about let's start off where I started before, which is that would be prohibited. Shchita shehi mishum malacha eino din shalotit chetz haShabbos. So then, if I can't violate Nisud HaRabbanan, I can't even violate Nisud HaRaisa, and I won't be allowed to shech the Karban Pesach. Good. That's Rabbi Akiva's counter-argument. Now, you realize at this point in time, as we are going to get a little, well, hopefully we're not lost, but if you're going to get a little bit lost in these arguments, do you know what we're suggesting right now? Do you know what Rabbi Akiva is suggesting right now? So what it sounds like is that, look, if I can't violate Nisud HaRabbanan of the Hazar Sapara, so then I can't even shech the Karban Pesach. You can't shech the Karban Pesach. What are we talking about? Not shechting the Karban Pesach. That the whole beginning of the discussion is that you're allowed to shech the Karban Pesach, meaning that's where the whole argument started. And now Rabbi Kiva says, oh, and now I can't shecht on this Erev Pesach because it coincides with Shabbos. So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, karta masha kasa b'Torah. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Kiva, now your arguments have taken us to a ridiculous location, because at this point in time, you uprooted that which the Torah says, bim mo'ado, bim b'chol, bim b'Shabbos. The Torah says that the Karm Pesach is to be shechted at its appointed time. Meaning that as far as the Karm Pesach is concerned, 14th day of Nisan. You look at that calendaric day. I don't care when the calendaric day comes about. That's when you shecht the Karm Pesach. And if that calendaric day of the 14th day of Nisan happens to fall on the Shabbos, it overrides the Shabbos. And you're trying to argue now that you're not allowed to shecht the Karm Pesach on Shabbos. And so, Rabbi Eliezer rightfully says to Rabbi Akiva, your arguments have taken us to an absurd location. So Amar lo, so Rabbi Kiva now clarifies his position. So Rabbi Kiva says back to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi, haveli moed leilu kemoed leshchita. So he says, look, when we have a moed for these other activities like the moed of shchita, so then we have what to talk about. Meaning, the Gemara over here, a little obscure in terms of what exactly Rabbi Kiva means, but as Rashi explains, And it's pretty clear from the back and forth. Look, when we're talking about something like the shechting of the Karm Pesach, of course I'm going to tell you that's allowed, right? I'm not telling you it's allowed. The Torah says it's allowed, but of course. But you have to look at what the scenario is. The scenario is that there is no other time to do it. Meaning the Torah says b'mo'ado, the shechting of the Karm Pesach must be done on the 14th. It can't be done on the 13th simply because it's not the moed. So if you're going to give me anything that has to be done, that necessarily needs to be done on that particular Pesach, so fine, I'm with you. Yisuri deraisa, yisuri derabanan. If it falls under the category of moed, so then I'm fine, I'm with you. But if it's activities that all could have been done from before Yontif, I don't call that moed. That's not moed, right? That's not appointment. That's all things that you just procrastinated and you could have done yesterday and you didn't do yesterday, right? You could have brought the animal in yesterday. You could have came in from Tchum yesterday. You could have cut off the ward yesterday. And I'll say under my breath, yes, I know there are scenarios where you couldn't have done it yesterday. Maybe the ward grew overnight, right? Friday night, the ward grew. But for the most part, however, we're really discussing and debating the basic activities. And what Rabbi Kiva is saying is that, look, all these activities that you're highlighting over here all could have been done before Yontif. That's not moed. I'm talking about activities that necessarily have to be done on the 14th day of Nisan. Those are moed activities. So when you come at me with moed activities, so then we could have a discussion. But these activities that you described are not moed situations. Good. That's what Rabbi Kiva meant. Klal Amar Rabbi Kiva. Now the Mishnah has the final word for Rabbi Kiva, and that's called Malacha Shef Shalasosim Erev Shabbos. Any malacha that could have been done in Erev Shabbos in Adokas Shabbos is not going to override the Shabbos. And shechita, shiata la'asosim erev Shabbos, but you can't shecht before Shabbos. And again, the reason why you can't shecht before Shabbos is because of moed. Moed tells us that it has to be shechted on Shabbos itself. That year, Shabbos falls on the 14th. So then, if shalasosim erev Shabbos, so dochas Shabbos, that's going to override the Shabbos. Good. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. So really, truth be told, is that there really was only one point of debate in the Mishnah. What was unanimously agreed upon, it was the underpinning of the entire Mishnah, is that when Erev Pesach falls on the Shabbos, so you shecht the Karm Pesach. That's a malacha. But you shecht. Not only do you shecht, but you do other activities as well. Later, we're going to go through those other activities that you can do. We don't have full clarity on all those activities that you can do. However, what is the point of dispute in the Mishnah is going to be the Isuri Derabanan of carrying the Karm Pesach and bringing it from outside Tchum and cutting off the wart, where there was a full-blown debate in the Mishnah in terms of whether or not that or those activities are allowed on Shabbos as well. Rabbi Eliezer trying to argue that they're allowed, and all the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiva, so the numerous Tanaim in the Mishnah, who are all arguing with Rabbi Eliezer and his position, and really fantastic back and forth in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Akiva, right, on one side Rabbi Eliezer, on the other side Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiva, in terms of the logical kavachomer arguments that one can make in terms of either it being allowed or disallowed. Tanur Rabbanan, we're starting now with the Gemara on Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Immediately after the Mishnah, the Gemara now starts off with a Braisa Halacha Zunas Amma B'nei Beseira. The fact that you can shecht the Karm Pesach on Shabbos when the 14th day coincides with Shabbos, So that this idea, which again, in our Mishnah, it's a davar yadua, it's a davar mekubal, it's something which everyone accepts. So Ben Bezerah, as we're going to see, they lived during the same period of time of Hillel Zaken. So they forgot the halacha. So Pamachas Chalar Basalios B'Shabbos. So 1 year, this is during Bayis Sheni. So 1 year, the 14th day coincided with Shabbos. Shachav Lo Yadu in Pesach Dochas Shabbos Imlav. And the Ben Bezerah have forgotten whether or not the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding the Shabbos. They forgot. Okay. It's remarkable they forgot a halacha this basic. Right? This is, at a time where the calendar was not fixed, so I cannot tell you how frequently or infrequently it comes up, right? With a fixed calendar that we have nowadays, so we could say, that it happens with a certain amount of frequency, meaning within a person's lifetime, right? God willing, person lives a long life, he's going to experience many, Erev Pesach that fall on Shabbos. So it is a little bit curious. It's difficult to understand how it is that they could have forgotten such a halacha. Okay, it really is, right? You assume that they had, this is not the first time they experienced it. And keep in mind, by the way, that in the Beis HaMikdash, when you experience Erev Pesach that falls on a Shabbos, so you're talking about the masses of the Jewish people now shechting the Karban Pesach, overriding the Shabbos. So I'm just trying to stretch my imagination. It's hard. Stretch my imagination to figure out how they forget such a halacha, which really is, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I'll call it a basic halacha. Okay, nowadays, of course, without the Beis HaMikdash, so who knows? But I understand. But back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was pretty straightforward. Okay. Anyway, good. So thank you for trying to imagine with me. I'm not really sure how they forgot. They did. Amru klum yesh adam sheyodei in Pesach Chochus Shabbos Imlav. And so they asked around. They said, does anyone know? Now, what you could simply argue, okay, if I just may spend another moment on this point of them forgetting, right, quite possibly what they forgot, not the halacha, meaning they knew you're allowed to do it, what they forgot is the sourcing of that. And it sounds like that from the Gemara that we're going to do together, is that they just didn't know the limud. They forgot the limud. Okay, anyway. So, klum yesh adam sheyodei in Pesach Chochus Shabbos Imlav. So, amr lahem, so they said, adam yesh, Adam Echad Yesha Allah mi Bavel. So there's a person who made Aliyah. He came from Bavel. Vehila Bavli Shema. His name is Hillel. Shishim Shnei Gedolei Hadorah Shmaya Vavtaya. So they learn by Shmaya Vavtaya. Now, geographically, it is a little bit challenging over here. Right? It clearly Hillel is described as Hillel Bavli, which means that, right, he lived in Bavel, he learned in Bavel, and then he described him as a student of Shmaya Vavtaya. Shmaya Vavtaya was the fourth of the Zugos living in Eretz Yisrael. So how could he be Hillel Bavli learned by Shmaya Vavtaya? So, okay, imagine this is not his first trip to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, anyway, V'yodei in Pesach Dochas HaShabbos Imlav. And he knows whether or not Pesach is going to override the Shabbos. So Shachu V'Kar Lo. So they sent a message, they called him. Amar Lo, they said to him, Klum Atah Yodei Ma Pesach Dochas HaShabbos Imlav. And so good, the question straight out. Do you know whether or not the Karban Pesach is going to override the Shabbos? Amar Lahem. V'chi Pesach Echad Yesh Lanu B'Shana Shadochus HaShabbos. So Hillel says to the B'nai B'Seira, this is the first time that you're encountering this question about overriding of Shabbos. V'halo Harbe Yoser Mi Masayim Pesachim Yesh Lanu B'Shana Shadochus HaShabbos. You know, this happens 200 times a year. Now, when you first read the Gemara, it's a real head-scratcher, right? The Karban Pesach is Doche 200 times every year. It's not, right? The Karban Pesach event happens only once a year. Granted, by the way, that there are masses of Jewish people who are shechting Karban Pesach. But the idea that it's 200 times every single year, what's the Gemara talking about? So what is clearly the Gemara talking about, Rashi says it, it's clear in the Gemara as we continue, is that what Hill's point is to the B'nai B'Seira is that we have Shabbos coming up 50 times a year. Now take a look at every Shabbos. What's going to happen is that minimum 4 karbanos are going to be brought every single Shabbos. You have the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and you have the 2 musafs that are offered every Shabbos. So on every given Shabbos, you have 4 karbanos. So what do we have now? We have 50 Shabbosim a year, 4 karbanos every Shabbos. 50 times 4, that's 200. 200 karbanos that are brought every single year that are going to be overriding the Shabbos. Now he does say the word Yoser, and Rashi picks up on that, and Rashi says, that what we're describing over here is that you have to consider that 2 Shabbosim are also going to come out during Yontif, right? At least 2, right? Shuos also could. but you're going to have two yontifs that are going to fall out during a, you have two Shabbos that are going to fall out during a yontif. And that means that not only are you going to have the Shabbos Karbanos overriding, but those two Shabbos from a year, you're also going to have the Yontif Karbanos are also overriding. Okay, the number comes out to more than 200. Point made, point taken. So Amr lo, minayin lecha. So now the Bnei Bezera say to the say to Hillel, okay, that's good. How did you know that? Meaning, how did we get there? So Amr lehem, so he says back to them, Namar Moad bePesach veNamar Moad bTamid. So Ma Moado Amar bTamid Dochus Shabbos. Now we know when it comes to the Karban Tamid, the Torah says Moado. That means it has to come every day at its appointed time. So Af Moado Amar bePesach Dochus Shabbos. Same thing by Karban Pesach, the Torah says Moado. It's going to override the Shabbos as well. Vod Kavachomer on top of that, the Kavachomer Shein Enush Kares. Sorry, Uma Tamid Shein Enush Kares Dochus Shabbos. Now Karban Tamid, which doesn't carry with it a kares penalty, and yet it's going to override the Shabbos. Pesach shenosh kares. So I know dinsh dochus Shabbos. So karban pesach, where there is a kares penalty, right? We've gone over this point numerous times. Failure to bring the karban pesach, even though it's a mitzvah essay, will carry with it a kares penalty for that kind of failure. So two mitzvah essay, two positive commandments, in which failure to do so would result in a kares penalty, karban pesach and mila, right? For the first mission krisos. So anyway, so good. So here, if the Karban Tamid, which is a non-Karis mitzvah, if that's going to override the Shabbos, so Pesach, which is a Karis mitzvah, for sure is going to override the Shabbos as well. Enodin, Shidochus HaShabbos. So Miyad, Hoshiva, Barosh, Menichu, Nasi, Aleihem. Okay, so Bnei Becerra, so they were shown up. So this hill came coming from out of town. So answering basic questions about Karban Pesach overriding the Shabbos, giving the sourcing of this. So miyado shivu barosh menichu nasi aleihem. So they relinquished their seat and they gave it over to Hillel. Okay, just for a moment, if we could just contemplate that, how remarkable that is, that people who are in positions of power, so they relinquish that position of power, right? That's very difficult to do. I'm sure you've noticed the and they gave it all because they didn't know a halacha. It shows a certain amount of a character and really a belief that in order to serve as the head you have to be a bar hacha, you have to know the halacha. They didn't know the halacha, right? What I called earlier basic halacha, they didn't know it. So fine, and now Hillel is now appointed as the head, and now we know the rest of the story. Meaning, so Shmai v'Avtalion comes along. And as the fourth Zugos, what are the next Zugos? So the next Zugos is Hillel. And now basically we get a little more detail, a little more behind the scenes story of how Hillel becomes now the fifth appointed Nasi in that chain of Nisim. By the way, the five Zugos that I'm making reference to, so you can see them in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos go through the five pairs of Zugos that took over after Shimon HaTzadik, meaning in the beginning of Bayisheni. You had Shimon HaTzadik was Me'anshei Knesset, who Mishayari Knesset Gedola. And from that point going forward, you had five pairs of Zugos. The fourth is Shmai V'Avtayon. The fifth is Hillel and Shammai, and good. And so now we get a little more detail regarding that transition of power from Shmai V'Avtayon to now Hillel. Okay, now Hischel, the Gemara continues now, Hischel Mekantra Medvarim. Now, as Hillel is giving shir that day, so he's basically, he's stirring the pot. So he's starting off with the Bnei Becerra. Okay, now, should he have done this? Well, we could say clearly now the answer is no. And the Gemara later on is going to spend a little bit of time commenting, being slightly critical of this kind of behavior, more than slightly. Anyway, he shouldn't have done that, but we'll wait till the Gemara in the Amud Beis, where the Gemara is going to spend a couple of minutes noting that. So here's Chamakantra Medvarim, so now he's basically inciting the Bnei Becerra. Amar lehem bigarim lechem. What was the cause of this? Meaning, Shaelah mi Bavel ve'yeh nasi alechem. I come up from Bavel, now I become the nasi. I'm an out of towner, and now I'm the head. I'm the Rosh Hashiva. Also shayisa bechem. So he's chastising them, and in public, and admittedly, it's hard to understand, right? And we're talking about Hillel over here, who has a reputation, an earned reputation of being somebody who's sympathetic and very very patient. Okay, so, right, it's a trait that we don't normally associate with Hillel, but, okay, here in this one moment, so there was a moment. So also Shahai Sabachem, he says, you guys were lazy. You didn't serve Shmai Avtalion as you should have. And so as a result of that, you forgot. You simply didn't know the halacha. So Amarlo Rabbi Shachach Velo Hevi Sakan Meir of Shabbos Mahu. So now they say to Hillel, well, okay, good. Now as a Nasi, can we ask you another question? Let's say you didn't bring your knife and on Erev Shabbos, which of course you should have. So what do you do under those circumstances? Are you allowed to carry the knife into the Beis Hamikdash in order to shechit your Karban Pesach? So Amalahan, so he said back to them, Halacha zu shamati v'shechachti. So he said, yeah, you know, I once upon a time heard that halacha, and I forgot the halacha. So Ella Hanach Lem Yisrael, but Hillel says to them, but look, the Jewish people, they know what they're doing. Im ein neviim, b'nei neviim. Look, they may not be neviim, but b'nei neviim. All right, so children of prophets. So let's assume that Klal Yisrael know what's going on. So Lamacha, the very next day. So Misha Pischo Tletoch Labitzimro. So if your carbon pesach happened to have been in a sheep which has nice tufts of wool, so then they just tuck the knife right into the wool. And Misha Pischo Gedituch Ben Karanov. And if, let's say, you had a goat, so there wasn't that nice wool that you could stick the knife into, so you just stick it right between the horns of the goat. And Ra Maisav and Iskar Allah Chavamar. So Hillel saw this. He saw what Klal Yisrael were doing. And now we remember, Kachmeku Blani, Mipi Shmai V'Avtalion. Yeah, that's exactly how Shmai V'Avtalion said it. Okay. So Ad Kan Divrei HaBraisa, that's a long braisa, covered almost the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. And so much to discuss in the braisa. And for the balance of today's daf, we're going to be going through a number of points that were raised in this braisa. So let's go step by step. Amamar. Nemar mo'adu b'pesach v'nemar mo'adu b'tamid. So ma mo'adu amar b'tamid dochis v'shabbos, af mo'adu amar b'pesach dochis v'shabbos. Good. So the mo'ad by tamid is overriding Shabbos. The mo'ad by Pesach is going to override Shabbos. V'tamid gufei minal d'dachis Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, look, you're giving sourcing, that's great. But what's the sourcing for the sourcing? The idea that it's a davar yadua, it's a davar pasha, that the karmic tamid is going to be overriding the Shabbos. How do I know that the karmic tamid is overriding the Shabbos? And ilam emishim dechsev be mo'ado. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, it has to do with the fact that it says mo'ado. So the Gemara says Pesach nami hatsiv nami mo'ado. By the karm Pesach, it also says mo'ado. So the in other words, as much as mo'ado is a source for karm Pesach, it should be a source for karm tamid. And as far as the B'nai B'Seira are concerned, if they didn't accept Mo'adah for Karban Pesach, so then they wouldn't accept it for the Karban Tamid. So, Mo'adah L'mashmalei. Clearly, the B'nai B'Seira didn't see Mo'adah as being a source. So, Achanami Mo'adah L'mashmalei. So, Elam Akra, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbat Ola Satamid. So, the Gemara says, okay, but let's just read the Pesukim in Parshas Pinchas. It's Ola Shabbos B'Shabbat Al Olas HaTamid. So the Alalas HaTamid, it's pretty clear in the Pesukim that the Torah is assuming that we're going to bring offering the Karban Tamid on Shabbos. Mechlal Olat HaTamid Kreva B'Shabbos. Okay, so it's a simple reading in the Pesukim. Okay, good. Amar Ve'od Kavachomer. Now Hillel brings in two proofs that you're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach on that Shabbos. When the 14th day of Nisan coincides with Shabbos, so he had a Limud, which we just went through, and on top of that, he also had a Kavachomer. So Ve'od Kavachomer. Uma Tamishe. Ein enosh karish doches haShabbos. So the carbon tamid, which does not carry with it a karish penalty, and it's overriding the Shabbos. So Pesach shenosh karish shenosh doches haShabbos. The carbon Pesach, which has the karish penalty, good. The kavachomer that we saw. So igal mifrach. The Gemara says, yeah, that's a kavachomer. But as the Gemara does, if you have a challenge, a refutation of the kavachomer, so go ahead, have at it. Now in the Braisa, there was no refutation. The Gemara wants to know, why don't we insert the following refutation of the Kavachomer? Mala Tamid Shekein Tadir V'Kalil. You're comparing the Karban Tamid to the Karban Pesach. Let me share with you two features that you have regarding the Karban Tamid that you don't have with the Karban Pesach. Number one, Tadirus. The Karban Tamid comes every day. You know, it's kind of built into the name of the Karban Tamid. It's a daily Karban. So that's one feature that the Karban Tamid has over the Karban Pesach. And you know, right, it's a daf yomi shmuz. You know the importance of consistency and constancy and good. So that's one. And two, kalal. The Karban Tamid is totally burnt on the Mizbech. It's a Karbanola. So I have those two features by the Karban Tamid. So you're going to argue, well, if I can offer the Karban Tamid and that override Shabbos, well, for sure now the Karban Pesach is not tadir. It doesn't come daily. Karban Pesach is not kalal. It's not fully burnt. So you have a built-in pircha into the Kavachomer. Kavachomer is simply not a good Kavachomer. Okay, so the Gemara points out like this. So this is how we're going to have to reread the dialogue between Hillel and the Bnei Becerra. So Kavachomer Amar lo Bereisho Parchua. So the first thing that Rebbe Kiva presented, that Hillel presented to the Bnei Becerra is the Kavachomer. And the Bnei Becerra said no. In other words, the simple rejection of the Kavachomer, as we just got done rejecting. The Hada Amar lo Gzereshava, and then followed afterwards with Gzereshava. So now, you have a Gzereshava. Gzereshava is a limud. It's a limud gamur. And you can't, and there's no pircha to ask on a Gzereshava. So once Hillel had a Gzereshava, so what is he doing with a Kavachomer, which anyway is going to be refuted? So, Ela Lididu Kamerluhu. He was saying, was saying the Kavachomer on behalf of the Bnei Becerra, meaning Bishlam Gzereshava Lo Gamri. So he says, look, the Gzereshava, so you don't have the tradition of the Gzereshava. You didn't learn it. So the Ein Adam Dan Gzereshava Mei Atzmo, and Gzereshava you can't come up on your own. You have to have that as part of the Mesorah. Right? The Gzereshava is of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nejashas Behem. Gzereshava is one in which you absolutely need a Mesorah. You need a source, you need a tradition. Good, right, the Rashi in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, together with Tosfos, have a debate in terms of how many of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nejashas Behem requires this kind of Mesorah. Meaning the Gemara says it clearly by Gzereshava. And Kavachomer, the Gemara says clearly right now. Let me just read in the Gemara. El Kavachomer Da'adam Da'me Atzmo. Kavachomer you can do on your own. Meaning you don't need a Mesorah for Kavachomer. It's a logical argument. So assuming that you have good logic, you have sound logic, you can make a Kavachomer. Good. So we know the extremes. That's a given. We know Gzereshava, you have to have a Mesorah. You know Kavachomer, so that you can innovate. What about the other 11 Midah Shatar Nejashas Behem? And as we've gone over numerous times, there are more than 11. But what about the other 11 Midah? So is that now going to shade towards the Kavachomer? Is that going to shade towards the Gzereshava? Good, Rashi and Tosfos over there in the beginning of Sukkah, in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, they have that debate. Anyway, so the Adam Dan Me'atzmo Ibai Lechu Lameidan. So what Hillel is saying now to the Bnei Becerra is, look, you don't have the Gzereshava, you don't have a Mesorah for that Gzereshava, fine, but the Kavachomer, so don't you have the, shouldn't you make the Kavachomer? Amarle, Kavachomer Pirchei. So to that, the Bnei Becerra say, and correctly, by the way, to their credit, that the Kavachomer is not a good Kavachomer. So they bust the Kavachomer, and so then Hillel says, okay, so then I'm going to give the Gzereshava as presented to me, and apparently they accepted it, even though they didn't have a Mesorah. What you have to say is that they accepted the Mesorah of Hillel. Amar Mar. We're on the bottom of Samach Vav Amanal, continuing now in the Gemara. Amar Mar. Macha Misha Pitzko Tla Tochiv Lo Bitzimr. You forget your knife, what do you do with your knife? So if your Karm Pesach is a sheep, you just put it right into the wall. And Gedi Tochiv Lo Bekarnav. And if it is a goat, so then just stick it in the horns. And you're good to go. And you can now take it along with you. And the Gemara now on top of the Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, "V'haka avod avoda b'kachim." Okay, you're having your carbon now doing work for you. That you're not allowed to do, right? The pasuk says, "Lo savod." Right, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, "Lo savod b'v'chor sharecha." So you're not allowed to do avoda with your b'chor. And that's not only limited to the Bechor, it's also true by all Karbanos, right? That's Rashi in the top of the Amud. So you're having your animal carry your knife for you, that's a Voda. And so you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the Tanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in this circumstance, it would be fine because of the following. Amar lo v'Hillel, mi'amav lo ma'al adam be'olaso. You know, while Hillel was in charge, and while he was a Nasi, so no one violated the Isra of Me'ila with a Karbanola. LMEV and Chum Lazar, because here's what you do. You're not makdish the animal, meaning obviously you earmark this animal that it's going to be your carbon, but you don't be makdish the animal. You wait until you bring it into the Azara, Chum Bazara. It's so funny. We are, right? If you're with the daf, if you heard enough dafim, So probably what now is, should ring is the idea that you're not allowed to bring chulin ba'azara. Chulin ba'azara is an isser. Could even be an isser daraisa. But the but over here, the Tosfos points this out. Second Tosfos on the Amud. We're just simply borrowing the phrase over here, meaning obviously we're not interested in bringing chulin the azara, meaning because what we're going to do is that we're going to be makdashit. It just simply means is that you wait to be makdashit until right before usage. So yamav l'mal adam balaso. Sorry, I'm restarting the line. Ela mevia chulin azar. You bring chulin to the azar makdishah v'samech yado alei v'shochta. And then what you're going to do is you're going to be makdashit while it's in the azara. You do smichas yadayim and right the part of the avoda, and then you shecht it. Good. So the Gemara says that sounds like. And now, sorry, let's just first resolve the problem, meaning that this is a solution for the problem. You're right, you're putting the knife in the wool of the sheep and it's carrying your knife, and aren't you working with a carbon? The answer is no, you're not, because it's not yet a carbon. Meaning, yes, it's going to be a carbon, but right now, currently, as it's constituted, it's not a carbon, it's fine. So the Gemara says, great, that's a great solution. And you know how this works. It works all the time, and that is that when you solve for one problem, it creates a new problem. And so the Gemara says, great. So you solve for the problem now that your animals, your carbon is not doing malacha, because it's not yet a carbon. You're not going to make it a carbon until you bring it into the Azara. Excuse me, that's wonderful. But Pesach b'Shabbos heichem matzeh makdish leh. But now remember, our whole discussion was that it was Erev Pesach that fell on Shabbos. So now, when are you going to be makdish this? So right before you shecht it, today's Shabbos, you're going to be makdish it on Shabbos. V'atanan, I thought you're not allowed to do that. And you thought, it's a Mishnah. So ein makdishim, ein marichim, ein machrimim, ein magdim shumam masros. Kol elam yamtav armu kavacham b'Shabbos. So the Mishnah happens to be a Mishnah Beitza, but clearly the Mishnah says these are activities that are also both on yamtav and on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to be makdish and marichim machrim. Those are different types of consecrations, and not to go through them right now. And you can't take off shumas and maestros, and you can't do this on yamtav, and for sure you can't do it on Shabbos as well. You're being makdish a carbon on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. So Hanimili, so the Gemara's response. This is the Gemara's answer. Hanimili bechovashen kavolem zman. Yeah. So when you have an obligation that's not calendarically connected, and it doesn't have to come today, so that you can't be makdish neither on Yantav or on Shabbos. Haba bechovashen kavolem makdishin. But anything which is time sensitive, meaning you got to bring it this Shabbos because it's the Karban Pesach and today's the 14th, so that you're allowed to be makdish even on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yochanan, the Gemara quotes Rav Yochanan, makdish adam es pesach b'Shabbos. You can be makdish your Karban Pesach on Shabbos, meaning when the 14th comes down on Shabbos, so you can be makdish it. The Chagiga, you can also be makdish on Yantav. The Chagiga, obviously, you bring on Yantav itself. Good. To this, the Gemara says, now you're good to go. So you're allowed to be makdish this animal right before you shecht it. So problem solved. V'alom mechamer, the Gemara says, okay, but another problem to take into consideration, that's the following. It's Shabbos. You are taking a knife. You're putting it in your animal. And now you are instructing your animal to move. This is the malacha of Mechamer. Mechamer is directing your animal to do work for you. And Mechamer is an Isser de Araisa. And so the Gemara says, how can you do that? So the Gemara's response is Mechamer Kalacha Yad. The Gemara says, yeah, but this is extraordinarily unusual. This is extraordinarily unusual. So the Rashi says kalacha yad. The Rashi says ein derech klal laseis masoi. Yeah, you know your sheep are not doing the heavy lifting for you, right? The cows, oxen, they're doing the heavy lifting for you, but the sheep, that's not what they're there for, right? They're there for wool, for milk, for meat, but they're not there to work for you. So it's mechama kalacha yad. So the Gemara says, okay, now nehidi yisur daraisa leka yisur darabana miyaika. So the Gemara says, okay, but I got to tell you, it's not Nisr D'Oraisa, but still Nisr D'Rabbanan. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, let me first finish the Gemara and then we'll get back to the Rashi. So the Hainu D'Kabai Mine. So the Gemara says, wonderful. Now finally you understand the back and forth between the B'nai B'Seir and Hillel on this follow-up question. So Davish Yishlo Heter Min HaTorah. So this is something that has a Heter Min HaTorah. Meaning that, look, as far as bringing the knife into the Beis HaMikdash, so Min HaTorah, it's totally fine. Meaning, to put it on the animal and have the animal carry it for you, so Min HaTorah would be fine. It happens to be that the Isser over here is an Isser D'Rabbanan, because now your animal's carrying, but it's done in an unusual fashion, because we're not talking about a large animal, we're talking about a small animal, and so therefore it's done kila achriyad, and so b'makom mitzvah mine. So am I allowed to violate nisa d'rabbanan? A lighter issa d'rabbanan, you'll see in a moment why I just said that. A lighter issa d'rabbanan, in order so that we can bring the Karm Pesach. Amar lahem, halachazu shamati v'shachachti. So what Hillel said is, you know, good question I heard, but I forgot. So Allah hinich lahem Yisrael, mein neviim, mein b'nei neviim, but the Jewish people know what they're doing, and basically will follow their lead. Good. So in just a moment, the Gemara is gonna go back on this dialogue. Really interesting Rashi. Now I've already promoted it a couple of times. So Rashi writes over here. The Rashi says that this is a lighter issa d'rabbanan. So he writes sheyesh lo heter min haTorah kagon zeh she'eino mechamer gomer ela kalacha yad. So first of all, this is not real mechamer. Mechamer is working an animal that normally is worked, and we're talking about a sheep over here. It's not normally worked. Ve'ein kan ela shvus. So this is an issa d'rabbanan ve'afilu shvus didei lo chami kishar shvus. And it's not even a higher level d'rabbanan. Rashi describes it as a lower level d'rabbanan. The chol kala achrayad lo shchicha. So Rashi writes over here because doing something in an unusual fashion. Do you know why it's unusual? Because we don't usually do it that way. And so Rashi describes it as eno shchiach. So Rashi describes over here that the issa d'rabbanan of kala achrayad is a lower level issa d'rabbanan because by definition it's something which is eno shchiach. It's not something which is common, which. Right, just to spend a moment thinking about it, it's really hard. Meaning the idea over here is that kila achayad is an issa d'rabbanan because you're not doing so in the usual fashion. And on top of that, because they're doing it in such an unusual fashion, it means it's not done normally. Now, normally we say that the chachamim only goes there if it's something which is shchiach. This, by definition, is not shchiach. So, right, it's a bit of a brain teaser. Meaning so, but meanwhile, the chachamim made a gzera on it, despite the fact that it's eno shchiach, because kala achrayad by definition is eno shchiach. Okay. Anyway, but Rashi clearly over here describes it as a lower level issa d'rabbanan, and as a result of that, it would be a and the question that was asked is that can this fall away so that people could be bringing their knives to the Beis Hamikdash in order to do the Karm Pesach, and the answer that the Jewish people said resoundingly is yes, you could do it. Okay, a couple of points of Musar to end off our daf today. I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Kol Amis Yahir. So anyone who is arrogant, Im Chacham Hu Chachma Som Estal Lakas Mimenu. So his wisdom is going to leave. And Im Navi Hu Nevuah Som Estal Lakas Mimenu. And his Nevuah is going to also disappear from him if he shows any signs of arrogance. Im Chacham Hu Chachma Som Estal Lakas Mimenu Mihillah. So over here, case in point. By Hillel, he showed off a little bit of arrogance after being given the seat of power and being the Nasi. So then he started to be Mekater. He started to incite the Bnei Bisera. He shouldn't have behaved that way. The Gemara says it here clearly. And now remember what happened, meaning let's now go over the sequence of events, and now we can carefully learn some Musa from the sequence of events. So first he was given the seat of power because he knew the halacha, that you're allowed to shach the Karm Pesach on Shabbos. Good. Then what happened is he was mekater. Well, he darshan that day. Then he was mekater. Then he started inciting the Bnei Bisera. Then they asked him a question. Hey, if you forgot your knife, how do you bring your knife to the Beis HaMikdash? And to that, what was Hillel's response? Shabbat v'shachachti, I forgot. Well, what does that mean, he forgot? Right? The whole reason why he was given the power, the seat of power, is because he remembered. And now he forgot. So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly. Because he was miyahir, because he showed off signs of arrogance. And im navi nevuah samastalakas mimenu midvara. And as far as being a navi and showing signs of arrogance, then you're going to lose your nevuah. So we see that by dvara. Okay, I'd say also this week's parsha, or better yet, this week's haftarah. Dechsiv, the pasuk says in this week's haftarah, chadlu parazom b'Yisrael, chadlu ad shakamti dvara shakamti im ein b'Yisrael. So they're telling dvara to wake up. What does that mean? Wake up. Uksiv. Uri Uri Dvara, Uri Uri Dibishir. So they're asking her to wake up, meaning waking up, what is she, sleeping? She's slumbering? No. She forgot her Nevuah. And the reason why she forgot her Nevuah is because of a certain amount of arrogance that she demonstrated. So she forgot her Nevuah. Reish Lakish Amar Kol Adam Shekaweis. Reish Lakish says that anyone who shows off anger, Im Chacham Hu Chachmasa Mestalakis Mimenu. So if it's a Chacham, so his Chachma is going to go away. And im navi hu nevuah mistalakas mimenu, and the same thing with the nevuah as well. Im chacham hu chacham asa mistalakas mimenu mi Moshe. So, as far as a case study of somebody releasing some anger and having forgotten halacha dechsev, vayitzav Moshe al pekudei chayil. So the soldiers, after having gone to war with Midian, and they came back now with the women from Midian. So Moshe got really upset, and vayomer Elazar Kohen alanshei hatzava. Now, when teaching about the halachas of tefillah and hagalah, so who was teaching those halachas? Elazar was teaching those halachas. Where was Moshe at the time? Isn't he the one who is starting off the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat? Why is Elazar teaching? So Moshe temporarily forgot. Why? Because he got angry. That's case study number one. Case study number two. Imnavihu nevuah samasalakas miyemenu me Elisha. So we have an incident regarding Elisha. Dechsev, lule pnei Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda, ani nosei im abit elecha v'imareka. So Elisha now is talking to the king. And the uksiv, and it says, v'atak chuli menagim, v'ayak kenagim, menagim v'ti alav yad Hashem. And now Elisha lost his nevuah, and he needed music in order to inspire him, in order to get his nevuah. So the, and why was that? Because he got angry. Amar Rabbi Mani Bar Patish, Kol Shekoes, Afilo Poskim Alav Gedula Min Hashemayim. Anyone who gets angry, and even if he was, assigned a position of greatness, Maureen, and even if it came from up above, so Maureen Noso, so immediately he's going to get deposed. So Minalami Eliav. So we know that as another case study from Eliav. Dechsev the pasuk says, sorry, Shenamar. Vayichar Af Eliav Bid David Vayomer Lamaze Yaradata VeAmina Tashta Me'Adatzon. Right, so David goes and visits the brothers while they're confronting Goliath, and so Eliab, the oldest of the brothers, so he turns the shade of red. He's absolutely livid as his brother. What's going on over here? What are you doing over here? You should be shepherding, right? It's just your curiosity that got you over here to see the battle against us, against the Plishtim. Now, so Eliav lost his stack, and Eliav was supposed to be the king. He was supposed to be the son of Yishai, he was supposed to be the king. V'chi azol Shmuel lemim shechinu. Now, Shmuel comes to the sons of Yishai in order to be mamshech, in order to anoint the next king. And the kulok siv lo bezebachar Hashem. Now, when it comes to all the other brothers, it simply says lo bezebachar Hashem. Right, not this one. Uve Eliav Ksiv. Now, by Eliav it says, "Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, al tabet el mareo veel gavo kamoso ki me'astihu." So clearly, just a simple reading of the pesukim. Clearly, over here was a full rejection of Eliav. So mechlal dahava rachim le'adayina, meaning he was a candidate. The Kadosh Baruch Hu really considered Eliav for that position, but because he was angry, because he lost his stack at David. So he was rejected. For him, it was a full rejection. Okay, so a couple points of Musar, right? And it's a good time just simply to highlight the Rambam over here to end off the daf today. The Rambam says that there are two kinds of midos. There are two types of character traits, attributes that a person should have none of. Meaning, generally speaking, when it comes to character traits, so there should be a middle ground. A person should be somewhere between, in the middle, between having the midah of being generous versus being miserly, right? People should be in the middle. By the golden rule of the Rambam. However, when it comes to two midos, the Rambam says you should be extremists. And the extremism should be regarding anger and arrogance, right? Our Gemara, today's daf. So anger and arrogance, a person should have no anger and no arrogance, period. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf. The beginning of the daf, we opened up the Mishnah of the sixth parak, Shechting the Karm Pesach on Shabbos that coincides with the 14th day of Nisan. So the Shechting the Karm Pesach is overriding the Shabbos. That's a given. There are other activities also that override the Shabbos. There are other activities that do not override the Shabbos. And then you have your activities which are turned into a major debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Tanaim. The activities like carrying a carbon into the Beis HaMikdash through Rishus HaRabin, coming from outside of Tchum, cutting off a wart. So these activities which are Isuri Durabanan, we went through earlier why all of them are Isuri Durabanan. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, they're allowed to override the Shabbos of those activities. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, in the Mishnah, went back and forth together with Rabbi Eliezer, and their position is that they do not override. And to say the Mishnah shortly and succinctly, as a review, it's because they're not moed, meaning they did not have to be done on Shabbos. They could have been done before Shabbos. Right? Rabbi Kiva says at the end of the Mishnah, Kol malacha she'ef shalasos me'ef Shabbos, any activity. Now the word is malacha, but over here we're going to include in that also Yisuri Derabanan. Any activity that could have been done before Shabbos is not going to override the Shabbos. It's very clear. And so therefore, Rabbi Kiva says that these activities are not going to override. Okay, we were on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Samech Vav Amud Aleph, treated to a brisa that gave us the background of how Hillel becomes a Nasi, where he comes in from Bavel. The Bnei Basira are struggling. It's this year, Erev Pesach falls on the Shabbos. Does the Karban Pesach override the Shabbos? The Bnei Basira don't know. And Hillel HaZaken says, okay, let me, at that time, by the way, he wasn't Hillel HaZaken, but he was Hillel. But the but Hillel says, okay, let me share with you. And he gave him a kavachomer, and he gave him a drasha. And they realized, okay, he knows. And so they put him as a Rosh Yeshiva. Good. And then the remainder of today's daf, the Gemara gives us a lot of details on the Braisa regarding other things that occurred on that day that he was appointed. They asked him the question about a person having forgotten to bring his knife to the Beis HaMikdash. How do you get the knife to the Azara? So Hillel says, I don't know, but let's watch the Jewish people. The Jewish people know what they're doing. Good. And a number of discussions that occurred from that back and forth between Hillel and the Bnei B'Seira. And just to quickly highlight the discussions, number one, the sourcing that Hillel uses, right? He uses a Gzer Shava. He also uses a Kavachamer. Why does he use both? So the Gemara in the end of the Amud Aleph explains why it is that he necessarily needed both the Kavachamer and the Gzer Shava. To say it succinctly, it's because the Kavachamer is not a good Kavachamer. There's a Pirch on the Kavachamer. On the Amud Beis, the Gemara dealt with the fact that you're taking your knife, right? This is what the Jewish people did, which is what really Shmaya Vavtalion taught years earlier. And that is that you take the knife and you put it in the wool of the sheep, or you put it between the horns of the goat, and let the animal carry it into the Beis HaMikdash. So, number one, aren't you doing an avoda with a karban? The answer is no, because we're going to postpone the hektish until the last moment. Number two, isn't this going to be an Isser of Mechamer? And the Gemara says no, because you're talking about small animals that don't normally work, and this is what's called Kala Acher Yad. Good. And then finally, the last things that we discussed in today's daf was arrogance and anger. Two midos that will cause a chacham to lose his chachma, will cause a navi to lose his nevuah, and will cause a person to be deposed from his position. Ad kan.